It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide.
Hey, so Lloyd, this song, we had this listener, Gavin, he wrote lyrics. He wrote lyrics to the song for each guy's. You want me to sing Scotty's? Scotty's lyrics?
Okay, give it to me.
Because Scotty's not going to do this.
Well, we got to get Scotty too. I don't even think I've heard it. What other lyrics are there?
Okay, hold on. Because it has to reset. I'll try to sing along. I haven't done this, but here we go. My name is Scotty G. On the airwaves I reside, with Merlin's nephew by my side. Not there by accident, he's my partner, it's my choice. God didn't give me much, but holy cow, he gave me a voice. And when they scored late, what the hell just happened, did I say? I'm the voice of Aggies too this day.
Yes.
Hey, this guy wrote lyrics for me, Scotty G, PK, and Gordon. I want to do Gordon's. We'll do Gordon's sometime, but it was pretty darn good. We're not going to delay anymore because we've got the great Craig Bullerjack hanging out with us. Buller, how bad was that? Was I way off?
Oh, no. Hands. Man, I could sit here all day and just listen to the pipes, the tunes. That's clever, well written, man.
Hey, do you want to hear Gordon's?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Lloyd, kick it up, and I'll do Gordon's just because it's pretty stinking hilarious. PK's is funny, but I love Gordon. And by the way, I have not done this, so I'm trying my best.
No. The beauty of this will be that it's the first time.
I write a column.
Yeah.
For the trip, please subscribe. We need cleanup aisle 5. You tell a story, I'll one-up you if I can. I'm Lisa's lesser half, I'm just that kind of man. Or I may drop a name, some bigwig who's a gem. Do you know who I am? That's it. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah, this guy
really
did. Good. He did some good lyrics. How you
I'm
been?
Lisa's half the man. What was that again?
Yeah. I'm Lisa's lesser half. That's just the man I am.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
All those years on radio, and I think Lisa's maybe the most popular.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I mean, when we were together, same thing. You know, like police would call in or we'd call her and, what are you doing? I'm mowing the lawn, you know.
She did it all, man. Absolutely.
She's great.
She did it all. And Gordon Monson, obviously, the greatest that ever lived here on radio.
He's
sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I miss him.
Yeah, we all do. How you been, Bowler? Things good?
Yeah, you know, it's just the end of the week, getting ready for the weekend. Got to do some mowing. And, you know, it's I'm watching NBA, you know, Western Eastern Conference Finals, thinking, wow, Dallas, can they recover from the beat down in game one against the Warriors in last night's game? It shows you the power of the three, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just energy early. And Boston just had an incredible comeback after the game one loss, and now they go to Boston for two. So, yeah, it's amazing, ups, downs, sideways. But tonight I'm anxious to see how Dallas responds, much like Boston. If they can respond like Boston did with the three and just some strong, energetic play was something. I was impressed with Boston last night, no doubt.
Hey, Bowler, I know you've called a lot of things. Have you called any golf? Have you been a voice on golf?
You know what? I wish CBS would have put me on a hole back when I first started. There was some talk they were going to put me on the 15th hole, but my good friend Vern Lundquist continued that role for the 13 years that I was there.
Yeah.
So, no, I was always in waiting, but, no, I would have loved to. But I did call the Kansas Open back in Wichita, and it was a blast. I was up on the 18th green and kind of hid behind the plexiglass and had to talk very calmly as they approached the 18th green and looked like they pulled out a nice eight iron to slide that ball in up on the green hands, and now what looks to be a 9-foot putt.
It's good, man. You've already got it in tune. I'm just watching. I'm watching this PGA Championship. I love this stuff. I eat up these majors, and I'm wondering if you could have an NBA championship ring, a Super Bowl ring, or a green jacket, which would you take?
Oh man, those are all like the highest of echelon.
Yeah.
You know, I think with the ring though, hands, you can wear it all the time. I don't think you could be caught out with the green jacket all
you
the time,
can't.
Could you?
No, you can't. But I do love that individual accomplishment.
Oh yeah, yeah. When you slide that on, it's a, you know, especially in the Butler cabin. Come on, that's golf's greatest gift. Others would maybe argue it's the Open or the PGA Champion. I used to call it the British Open, but now it's just the Open. But, yeah, the claret jug, I mean, any of those things that, you know, you want a major, you walk across, you know, and hit Amen's Corner, and, oh, God, there's I'll tell you, golf, the longevity of the game is amazing. And, but there was something about a ring, I don't know what it is, that just...
The appeal.
It'd be hard, you know, if the Jazz get there one day, and I'm still, you know, lucky enough to be behind the mic, I wouldn't take that ring off.
Yes,
you
that
know,
thing
you
would
know,
stay.
You'd have to wrestle me to the ground, man. I tell you what, it'd be a barn burner there, pal.
Yep. I just that, it, and I hope he doesn't get upset with me for mentioning this, but Scotty had his Mountain West Conference championship ring. You know, obviously being the voice of the Utah State Aggies, and Utah State goes and wins one, and he pulled it out. I think number one, he wanted to make me a little bit jealous. Even though I've got some conference championship rings, you know. But he pulled it out and he was like, "Take a look at this, man! Diamond studded. They do it upright. It's beautiful." I told him, I said, "That should never come off your hand." And he's like, "Oh, Scotty's just not that type of guy. He's not going to wear it."
You know what? I bet he does. I bet he wears it around his neck with a big gold chain. You know,
oh, that'd be beautiful.
Yeah. I'm not wearing it really on the hand, but it's on my body.
God, that'd be so beautiful. I told him he needs to get inscribed on it or added to it, Broadcaster of the Year. You know, somewhere 2020 or was it 2021? And get that.
He could put in a Broadcaster of BOY.
There you go. There you go. And you could put that right there. I mean, you could fit that on there somewhere.
Could. Yeah, sure. You can. Hey, you can go into the jeweler and have them do anything. So
no question.
Nothing wants to get another ring with the BOY on it, man. Why not?
I love it. I love it. Craig Bullerjack, voice of Utah Jazz, joining us. So, talking about these Eastern and Western Conference games, I was just talking to Ben Anderson in Boulder. I've been turning off games because they're blowouts, and I turned off so many games. I was like, now I'm interested. I'm going to go back and just take a look at how many blowouts there's been. Listen to this, Bowler. In through the first, second, and three games into the third round, there have been 37 double-digit wins or double-digit losses. There has been, let me get this breakdown, 7 30-point or more losses, 14 20-point or more losses, and 16 10-point or more losses. You talked about, you know, hitting the three and if Dallas can get the three going. Ben Anderson thought a lot of what we're seeing has to do with the three.
It is. It is. Look what – hey, let's flip the page back a few weeks. What basically put the Jazz out in round one? The inability to hit the three, right?
Yep, yep.
And they were the most prolific three-point shooting club all of, the 72-game season. The truncated season, as we like to say. And then last year, up until about mid to late January, they couldn't miss from outside. And then all of a sudden, things just went south in a hurry, and they can never recapture that three-point magic, as I like to call it. Look, Boston last night goes 20 of 40. I like the numbers. You know, look, that's about as efficient as you can get. 50% of your shots go down from three, and they still shot 51%, I think, from the floor as well. And you flip it, it seems like, again, the league we knew was going that direction, Hans, right? Mm-hmm. It's a three-point league, obviously high percentage at the rim. But if you struggle from the three-point line and you have no other answer and you don't have mid-range game, or can work the ball down on the low, you know, really the low post is no longer, right? There's very few guys that can battle down low, much like what Tim Duncan did in his day or a guy named Karl Malone. I mean, they made their living down there. One was more different than the other. Karl was a powerful man built, and Tim was more of a guy that just finessed his way in. But, the three ball, man, if you can't hit the three, which is really, I think, the way the league is and what we've watched it as fans is, you know, it's playing itself out. If you're on top that night, it looks like a runaway win. If you can't hit the three, you're going to be on the opposite end. And the Jazz felt that too many times against Dallas.
Watching Golden State kind of toy with Dallas in game one, it was a quick reminder that maybe we've undervalued and under-talked about Steph Curry, and we've spent a lot of time talking about Luka Doncic. I wonder if Steph Curry hears that noise and he's like, all right, yeah, we'll remind everybody who the number one guard is in this league. Do you feel like he's got a little bit of that edge in him?
Absolutely. You know what, Hans, I think that's most important to think about right now is that Golden State, of all the four teams, look, the Boston Celtics have so many banners at TD Garden in Boston. Every time I walk in there, and I was lucky to be at the old Garden when Larry Bird was playing. Back in the day. And I, you know what? I'll tell you a quick story. I walked in early, got there, and what was crazy, the rumor and the incredible, you know, mystique of Bird was he always is there early shooting a rack of balls by himself before the crowd, the media, anybody arrived. And I just kind of snuck up on the second floor and looked over, and sure enough, there is Larry Bird with one ball boy and two racks of balls. And the ball boy shagging every shot, and I just sat there and watched, like, wow, wow. So these, you know, rumors and the mystique builds, right, with Larry Bird and Johnny Most, who was a voice, radio voice of Boston, who had the raspy, like he'd had it, you know, two packs a day. You know, I think he did two packs a day of unfiltered Campbell cigarettes, but you know, he had the voice of voices that went with Larry Bird's career for a while, but. That's the thing you think about is the great champions of the Boston Celtics and now this team that basically Danny Ainge helped build, and now they're having a chance to find their way to an Eastern Conference championship and an NBA Finals. But my point is Golden State is much more in the now. They know what it takes to win. Dallas doesn't, But Golden State's been there, man. It's the same group with Draymond, and you got Clay healthy, and you have Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. They know what it like, what it takes to be champions. And I think that's going to play out in this series. I could be wrong. Maybe it's Doncic time. But tonight's game, I think, will tell us a lot about what Jason – well, Jason Kidd's been there. He's been a winner. But at the same time, you know, how does this team respond on the road where you look and know what Golden State has done recently? Boston's in the past, but yet this team has the ability probably to win a championship. But, man, it's, you know, it's four teams with a lot of talent on it, for sure.
I got to tell you, Baller, I've gained so much respect for Jason Kidd through this postseason. Some of the things that they did to the Jazz and some of the adjustments that they made against Phoenix. But I know that Igor Kokoskov is right there in his ear.
Oh yeah,
and I know that he's helping. I'm wondering how much of it's Jason and how much of it's Igor. But I've built a lot of respect for Jason Kidd. Do you think Igor has been a huge help for him?
Oh, I do. I think a lot. Look, Igor was, and we talked a lot to Igor down in Dallas every time we saw him. Didn't get on the floor that much in Salt Lake, and he was already off the floor, but we'd walk across each other and talk, Locke and I and Big T, about how you doing, had his family there for one game. And look, he has great love and respect for the Jazz and also the Jazz fan base. He makes that clear every time. Had a shot, right? A very short period of time when the Suns were making, you know, coaching changes like a revolving door. You know, Jeff Hornacek was involved in that rotation as well. But, you know, Igor's a talented guy. He went back overseas, and was it the Slovenian team or was it Doncic's team that he was on the national head coach? I don't know what it was, but, you know, Dallas now, you know, has Luka, and I think he's a big part of what Jason Kidd wants to do. Kidd obviously, I think, runs the team. He's a competitor. I mean, it's his final word, but it's good to have a guy like that who understands both the NBA and the overseas European type play, right? So that combination is pretty effective, and I think we've seen that this year more than ever. Now, is it enough to beat Clay and Steph? Maybe not, but again, tonight, I'm anxious to see how Doncic comes out. You know, he's going to try to do it by himself. I think, you know, the Brunsons and the rest of, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, those guys have got to come and do their part as well. But Dallas is a good team. And I was surprised they got past Phoenix, to be honest. But you could see that the last two games in that Suns series, Booker and Paul and Ayton just kind of melted away. I was surprised.
Well, yeah, I was too, but I would not be surprised to see Dallas recover with a 15-point win tonight because, you know, you talk about Dinwiddie and Kleba and you talk about Finney-Smith and what Luka can do, and all of a sudden those guys start hitting on the perimeter and they start playing that frenzied defense, and there's a couple of adjustments that's been made. You know, Golden State was just stingy on defense, and Golden State made all those cuts to the rim. Klay Thompson was finishing at the rim, like, at ease. Everybody was with Golden State. They got that threat of the three, but they were just cutting at the rim, constant movement off ball to get their points.
I think that statement's the most important because they have other ways of scoring. Golden State, the cutting, right?
Yep.
The Jazz and most of the teams in the league are basically two-dimensional. If you can get a guy, even for the Jazz, if they decide to keep Juancho Hernangómez, he's intriguing because he's one of few players that actually can run through the paint from one side of the floor to the other, cut, maybe take the pass and slide one, you know, up and in for a bucket. So the cutters in this league have kind of been forgotten, in my opinion. In Golden State, with Kerr and company, those guys have the athletes, by the way. That's the key word here, athletes that are able to get inside, beat their opponent, and you have a distributor like a Draymond Green or a Steph Curry who's going to find the guy cutting through. But I'm with you with Dallas tonight. Look, if you come out and Luka knocks down a pair of early threes, it automatically is a game changer. It was for Boston. It was for the Jazz. When you are confident early and you hit early threes, it's a game changer from the get-go because it puts doubt in your opponent's mind. And the Jazz, when they played well and won, they would win by double digits, in the 20s multiple times. But then the doubt crept in. And when doubt creeps in, you're basically are going to, you know, you're going to finish like the Jazz did. Yep. And you saw multiple double-digit leads lost because the three ball disappeared and they started to doubt. And that's what I'll wait to see tonight, if Dallas, you know, regains that confidence and Luka leads that way. Because, look, Golden State, like I said before, they've been there. I don't think they're intimidated. They're at home. They're in. They've got the one game win. Yeah, they're at home, and then they go to Dallas for two. So, how's it play out, man? I'm with you. I turned my set off a couple of times in the Eastern Western Conference Finals thus far, but I always kind of get told to go back and see what's going on. So that's what I did against Boston and Miami last night.
Well, Bo,
nothing changed, by the way.
No, it didn't. Nope.
Nothing changed in the second half.
No, but it did change game to game. You know,
yeah,
it did change game to game. Bowler, thank you so much, man. Appreciate your time as always. You're the best in business. Appreciate you giving me a few minutes.
Appreciate you, pal. Hey, keep on singing, will you?
I will. I will. Maybe I'll. I might write some lyrics to that song for Bowler. I might. Might have to put a bowler jack.
I don't know what you're going to sing about.
I do.
I'll be listening.
I do. Thanks, Bowler.
All right, pal. See you soon.
There you go. Craig Bowlerjack, the voice of the Utah Jazz, joining us.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.